Welcome to the Venusian Academy. Today we are doing something a little bit different. Today's video is going to be more of a podcast type of setting. And today we're going to be having a conversation with a friend and lovely client of mine, Res Pizarro. And we're going to be exploring the realm of sexual boundaries. So Res has been working with me for a few months now, and she is an example of liberation and empowerment whenever it comes to taking ownership of our own healing process by grabbing the process, you know, and the reins of the process to take yourself through the liberation, you know, liberating the sexual energy. She experienced very severe sexual trauma, and there's a lot of complexity to it. And through that entire journey, there has been this newly found sense of empowerment. And I think that, you know, for us women dealing with such delicate subjects, it's so important to share and dive deeper into the subject. What are the nuances of, you know, of sexual energy, of boundaries, of what is a yes, what is a no? So I wanted to really just get naked today with Res. Energetically speaking, and just explore what are the edges of sexuality and how do we even, you know, bring ourselves back to this energy after experiencing so much trauma. So, Res, would you like to share a little bit about yourself and about what you're passionate about and your journey healing from sexual trauma?
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, I live in near the Boulder area in Colorado. I live up in the mountains about 9,000 feet. It's a little bit more primitive, so that has been an experience. Originally, I'm born and raised in Chicago, city proper. And let's see, professionally, I'm a software engineer. I've been doing that for the last 5 years. I did a boot camp program and transitioned from being a paralegal of 12 years to this profession. And let's see, the things I'm the most passionate about, probably like number one, my daughter. And then if I put family to the side is veganism. I really care a lot about animal rights, and I'm currently just trying to really make sure I'm in alignment with that passion across the board, the people that I work with, the companies that I work with. So that's something I'm extremely passionate. And then the other thing I'm extremely passionate is self-healing. And it's been a couple decades on this journey, but I'm like super grateful where I'm at today. And just like looking forward to share my experience and insights with you.
I love that. Thank you. And you're also an ultra marathon runner and athlete and live in the mountains, chop your own wood and a professional badass.
Yeah, that ultra running is what got me out in the mountains. And I've been doing that for like a decade.
Oh, beautiful. So the idea for today's conversation sparked because last time we were talking about sexual shaming and like what happens after, you know, you experience sexual trauma and you heal from it. And it's almost like there's shame whether you say yes, because if you say yes to something that then felt bad, then you're shamed for it. But then also post sexual trauma healing, whenever you're maybe with somebody and you say no, there's also shame for saying no. There's shame if you get paid for it. There's shame if you don't get paid for it. Like basically female sexuality is shame from every single angle. And, you know, I think that's a truth that we need to just embrace and be like, okay, so if the whole world is going to shame it, am I going to participate in this shame? Am I going to perpetuate this cycle of self-shaming and disconnecting myself from my sexuality? Or do I claim it? Let the world think and say whatever it wants. Push that outside and then just focus on accepting all of my colors and expressions. Because if we do that, then we need to step into the conversation of boundaries. How to place them? What do they look like? How to create them? So what do you feel, Res? Because you do have, like, you've experimented a lot with your sexuality and with conscious kink and with all of these, you know, you try to explore and open up different avenues of healing and expression there. What would be your wisdom in terms of boundaries? What is that to you, and how did you find them, and how are you constantly finding them within yourself and intimacy?
Yeah, that's such a great question, and it's interesting because I feel like boundaries is a concept that's always changing. You know, maybe a boundary that you had initially may change. So I think like the first thing is being flexible with myself has been the biggest learning curve. And that's hard. You know, it's hard when you have sexual trauma because there's research out there, especially if you have had sexual trauma within the first 7 years of your life, you're more prone to be susceptible to recurring rape events throughout your life cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the state of survival, like if your brain is in survival mode, you have no concept of boundaries. So for me, I kind of had to dig into my trauma first to really be able to set boundaries with myself. And then once I was able to respect those boundaries, it's easier setting them with other people. But if you don't know what your boundaries are, you don't know what to set.
Oof, yeah, yeah, exactly. I think like that when I first entered into the world of boundaries, it was very much this energy of, you know, boundary with you, with the other. No, you can't come here. No, you can't. But you just made like the golden nugget there is boundaries starts with ourselves. And in order for us to even establish those internal boundaries, we have to know ourselves. And if there's sexual trauma, it's like, who are you even? What's you and what's the other? Because that initial boundary was violated. And if it's violated and you don't have the tools or the support to heal from that, then all of a sudden you like, there's always going to be an energetic leakage, like a hole in your own field where it's like, in this area of life, I don't know what's me and what's the other and where am I? And I think that's the importance of diving into this type of work, because it's very easy, not easy, but it is easier to suppress, you know, compartmentalize, go on with my life in this other area, and then keep on living and staying busy, distracting myself with the world of Maya, of the great illusion, versus being like, wait a minute, let me take a break here. Let me like take a look at myself and feel this thing so that I can know myself. And if I know myself, I know what's the line separating me from others, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like recently, I think it was maybe at the end of November, somewhere around that timeline, I went on a date with a yogi, and we did end up sleeping with each other, but it was interesting. While we were leading up to that, like I set a boundary with using condoms, and it became like a slew of excuses as to why there was not a condom available. It was too hard to find. He didn't know whether he had one. And then, but he still kept trying to probe, like physically, he was on top of me. And like, he was about a good 60 to 70 pounds heavier than me. So like physically, I was kind of like at my threshold of like, okay, this man can overpower me. And I was thinking about that, like, what is my next move gonna be? Because he's not respecting. And I verbalized, I said no, I pushed him off me, and he's still like engaging. And then I just like, the best way I could describe it, I used like my yoni voice, and a like deep no propelled from me. And then he was like, fuck. And then he just like went back. And then he found the condom 5 seconds later. Everything was so simple. Yeah. And then I cut him off shortly afterwards, and I said that I didn't even want to engage in friendship, and he was so upset with me. And then it still continued. Then like, he didn't call me a whore, but he definitely did allude to like me being super slutty for sleeping with him on the first night, and then like not wanting to reciprocate anything additional.
Oh my God. See what I'm saying? Like, shame if you say yes, shame if you say no, shame, shame, shame. And I think like the primary emotion important and responsible for boundaries is anger. Because anger is a messenger of a boundary has been crossed. We experience that. And it's not, we don't always experience it immediately. For me, I'll say that a lot of the times when there is a boundary violation, the first thing that happens is confusion at the orienting energy of almost like loss of gravity, because I'm meeting up with a distortion. And, but then the final manifestation of that boundary violation, it's through anger. And, you know, when we were working together, we worked a lot through like, okay, the yoni, what does the yoni want? That's like the primal center, primal energy, reconnecting with the power, the yes and the no of the yoni. It's probably one of the most foundational, important, and then also what closes the loop on the sexual trauma healing, because it's, you know, it's your ultimate inner judge. It's like giving a voice to a part of ourselves that is very demonized and very shamed, and we're very separate from it. And that specific part, our yoni, our sexual center, is also a direct line of communication with our divine nature. And that's the irony of it, you know? So that, you know, yoni voice that you describe of just like the fire, that's feminine power. Because when there is the reconnection and embracing of our sexual energy, it's a reconnection with the energy of power. And yes, this men physically could outpower you at any moment. I think like where we find our power, the power of our softness, is in the fierceness of our sexual energy and of, you know, that yoni voice and all of the ancestral connection that is also present there. It's like the pulse of life in the feminine world runs through that.
Yeah, when you said the word, the pulse of life, it just kind of resonated with me. And that moment was so interesting with me, because I think like shortly after we started working together. So the timing for me in that event, it was almost like this individual, this vessel, was an opportunity, a safe opportunity for me to set boundaries. And it was like really empowering to do that. And now like post working with you, like I have additional tools that I could utilize to help me with that like power feeling.
Yeah, power. Like I have been personally going through an exploration of power, of what does it mean to me and how does it apply to my personal life and my work. And in that, for myself, I found like I've been like niching down on finding what is my purpose right now in my work. Because, you know, I remember when we met, it was more of like the tantric lens and just, you know, empowerment of sexuality. And then we started diving deeper into like, okay, the sexual trauma, and then sexual trauma connected to the energy of sex and power, and then also abundance and our ability to receive and all of these things. And I think the combination of all of this lies around the energy of power, of what is power. And in my studies, personal life, in working with women, making my courses, what I found is a woman's power lies in her ability to really connect with her sexual energy, with her power. You know, like that's like the raw primordial energy. That's the Kundalini energy. And the Kundalini is the energy, the primordial energy that we use to make that inner marriage, to connect with our spirituality, to experience liberation, bliss, moksha, however we want to call that. How is your relationship with the energy of power? Like, what does it mean to you? And what's the difference in how you related to this energy before and after going through this process of healing from severe sexual trauma?
Yeah, it's such a good cluster of questions. I think so. How I define power before has slightly changed, and the way that I was trying to pursue power has slightly changed. So I grew up with like a very like patriarchal, is that the word?
Household.
Mm-hmm. Where, patriarchal household, where my dad was like the financial aspect of the household, and my mom, like, at some point, we're four children. Once the second set was born, kind of like became the head of the household. So I had like that as my framework that was always instilled upon me. So whenever I would bring like partners over, it was always me serving them. I kind of felt like I was being groomed by my parents. So that was like, so I saw power, I did associate it to money, and I also had a tie that like I had to marry someone that had a lot of money for me to get power. So me getting power by myself was something that took me a long time financially to wrap my head around. So in the first decade of how I chose relationship, it was really contingent upon like finding men that like made six figures and that could provide a comfortable life. And then in terms of the sexuality, even though I think by early 20s I had put a lot of work into like my orgasm and knowing how to get there in relationships, I was in the priority. I always prioritized men. Still like this servant like mentality, because, well, I need to just keep my man happy because he's the one bringing in the money. For me, that really shifted in 2010. 2010, I think, will be when I started to awaken. At that point, like, I was heavily drinking. I was like 220 pounds. I was really unhappy with my life. I was a bit suicidal. I, at that point, had refused to entertain the idea that something happened to me. So I kept just like burying it and burying it and burying it. But at 2010, I couldn't handle it anymore. I got laid off and I took the year off and I started to travel. And it was through that specific type of self-care of giving me art, culture, and different like amazing earth landscapes like volcanoes and just like the Swiss Alps and like nature and waterfalls, my life started to expand and my definition of power started to change. Fast forward to now, power is not all tied around money, but from the financial aspect, like, I know that I have the capacity of making six plus figures and I am making six plus figures. So I feel independence and responsibility over myself. So now like power has that response, that vocabulary of responsibility, that I can't be responsible for myself. I am responsible for myself and I can give myself absolutely everything. The romance, the security, the stability, like power now encompasses that for me, which has been huge. Yeah, and I'll pause there and see what your thoughts.
What's interesting is like I'm finding, because of this relationship between, you know, like money and power and sex, like I feel like the common theme there is an ability to almost being like a synonym of power. Because financially, when there is like money and we are connected to it and it belongs to us, it's like I have the ability of moving, it's transactional energy. So it's almost like having the ability of moving a lot of transactional energy that relates to power. In sexuality, the ability to feel and the ability to, you know, open up in intimacy. It's like an ability. And if it's an ability, no wonder, right? It's so connected to, you know, to money, sex, and everything that's taboo. And I can't help but always look at everything from the astrological lens. And in the astrological lens, in tropical astrology, we'll be looking at the eighth house, which will be ruled by Pluto. And Pluto is the planet of power, the unconscious, sex, big money. And it is the ruler of the eighth house. And the eighth house is also the house of deep intimacy, taxes, other people's money, of trauma healing, the house of the unconscious, the realm of ayahuasca. So this is almost, it's such, like for me, it's like, okay, all of that is, it's in the same energy. It's like all of that is organized in the same box. So for us to explore deep sexuality, sexual trauma, we do have to always explore in hand our relationship to money and power, because power, okay, from like the human lens, the way that I see it is we have a society that is built on the energy of enslavement. This happened within cultures, and then it happened across cultures. It happened with, you know, colonialism. It happened like inside of like the Caucasian mount. Like it's just, it's immersed in most of humanity, various cultures, you know. Mm-hmm. Even the Aztecs had their own slaves. And so the world is built on this energy. What is the energy of slavery? Well, is you do something for me. It's like an energy, it's like a forced service energy. And the way they held power was the power of life. If not, I will kill you. Therefore, you dance. So it's a way of controlling life. The way that this translates psychologically in us is the controlling that primal instinct. And that primal instinct is related to that energy of death. If you don't do this, I will kill you. Okay, fine. I'll enslave, you know, myself to you. Second degree of that, once we step out of like, okay, I will kill you, it comes, we're talking about sexuality. So to control a species, you have to control their survival and their sexuality. And I think like with this new wave of awakening that we're going through at the planet right now, and just the age of Aquarius and Pluto in Aquarius, and what that brings to mind to me is like, okay, first of all, we as women, we need to reconnect with our sexual energy and liberate it from the slaver of shame. Because shame is the slaver of female sexual energy, all sexual energy. But, you know, this is a conversation for like the feminine heart. And through that connection, then there is the freedom of the survival. And the survival comes with money. So it's money and sex. Money and sex, liberating these two energies and building and repairing our relationships with money and with our sexuality is at the core of human liberation. Like, for me, that's something that I feel in my body that became so obvious, and it's difficult to articulate because it's something that goes, you know, so back in time. It's such an unconscious primal feeling. But if we work on those angles of like liberating financially and liberating ourselves sexually, like that's almost like the prerequisite, the building block of spiritual freedom that we're all trying to achieve. How do you relate to that? What do you feel with that?
Yeah, I mean, all of this has resonated with me. And it's interesting, as you were talking, I was reflecting kind of like on my career change and just different pivots and like prioritizing my, like my weight and my health and like losing weight. It was always like these slight prioritizing. Either I prioritized like my education to make leaps forward in making financial gains. And then after I made those leaps forward, like after I did, so let me take a step back. After 2010, I started to lose weight, and I showed myself that I had the capacity to like still remain in shape. And even though I didn't understand what was going on inside me, because I had a lot of anger from my trauma, I at least could control one aspect, was like, hey, you're getting triggered and you're overdoing everything. So I removed those over everything, like drinking and fast food, and just did like a 180 and just really focused on being able to drill down on things. So I also think, like, once I started to detox myself, and even the other layer, like, I was consuming so much content, I stopped buying TVs. I haven't had a television in my household in over 3 years. And, like, in my previous relationship, there was only one TV in the living room, but there's been no TVs in my bedrooms for a good decade. And that mental detox has helped. So through the detoxing process and prioritizing myself and choosing careers to just make those gains, I have noticed how, like, that power and money is tied to my sexual power. And as I work on both elements, like, I remember after I did my bootcamp program for software engineering, I started to be more open that I was queer and started to be more flexible on the term non-binary. Like, I gave myself financial stability that then the next block, I was able to unblock the next layer of what I needed to know more about res.
Yeah.
And that has been like a 5-year process. And so that has been really beautiful. And then, like, these last 5 years of, like, trying to play with my sexuality, even though it's been a lot in monogamous relationships and hetero relationships, I still have had, like, the space to play with that. And now that I'm not in these relationships anymore, I have a different playing ground. And, like, everything is coming together where, like, I'm queer and I'm non-binary, but I don't have to define all of that. And having that flexibility and space, to me, is the freedom. Like, I don't need to put labels on myself. I'm just in this playground. It's just like, you know, what do I like? And if I can explore that. And if I don't like that, it's okay. I don't even feel that shame. It's okay that you didn't like that. Like, you don't have to.
And
do
you can
that
change your mind, you know, as many times as you want.
Exactly. Yes, wow. So it's like that flexibility of what I'm finding. But, like, honestly, I don't even know if I would also be here if I didn't have, like, if I didn't put myself through ultra running and software engineering. Like, I had to prove, I don't know if this is going to come out, like, wrong, but, like, I felt for so long I didn't feel worthy. And I had to prove to myself that I was worthy. And I had to fight for that. So I feel like this last decade I've been fighting for me. And now I have this beautiful playground.
That's so beautiful. Oh, thank you for sharing that, Rez. There's just so much there. It's interesting to kind of, like, hear your journey here to this space of freedom and space that you find yourself in right now. It started off with the energy of, like, you know, financial power to be able to get out of that survival energy of, like, my livelihood depends on another, and prove to yourself, like, okay, I am capable of, you know, doing this. And then that set the foundation for you to be able to then enter into the sexual freedom. And with that, the word that, like, just, oh, it just hit it for me when you said it was, I had the capacity. Mm-hmm. See, like, what is that? What is to have the capacity, to have the space and the ability, space and ability. And that's also connected to power. And to, first of all, create space, like, you need to, you know, when we have so much trauma, there's no space because there's all of this stagnation of energy. And for you, it manifested physically through overweight, weight that wasn't meant to be there because it wasn't comfortable. You were, like, trapped inside of your body. And as that got released, you know, because you exercise your inner masculine in, like, pushing yourself in that, in, like, okay, I'm going to control what I can. There's all other things I cannot control, but I'm going to control what I can. In exercising that power, liberating all of that extra weight, you found more inner space, and that inner space is the divine feminine, and that capacity to do it, the willpower to stand up and use your masculine energy, is the masculine polarity. That almost, like, broke you out of this traumatic matrix that allow you to begin also playing with your sexuality and your sexual identity to explore, okay, like, if I am non-binary and, you know, polyamorous, and it's like this opened up a realm of exploration for you. And I think having the space in our lives to explore what are our sexual boundaries and colors, especially after that's, you know, that's almost like broken at an early stage because of the sexual trauma, is it like expanded you in another way. It was almost like the trauma like forced you to go through this process of liberation of like your two primary centers, breaking out of the family matrix and the cultural programming of, you know, woman being like the servants of men, and just being like your worth being valued to your serving to others. But then you flip that and served yourself. You use all that energy to serve yourself, and then in that gave you the freedom and space and capacity to do everything that you want to do now.
Yeah, you summarize that so beautiful.
Something like that,
thank
huh?
You. Something like that. Yeah, and you know, it's just wild because, like, I think, like, this week and this year is the first time where I'm really feeling like I can breathe out of my body. So there's still a lot of turbulence in my external, especially with like the father of my child and like stresses at work, and even like with friendships and, you know, just other responsibilities and family. But I'm starting to be in my body, and those external influences are not shaking me. Mm-hmm. And like, that is like so beautiful. And I know, like, if I would have loved to have taken a pill and someone said, like, hey, here you go, here's this pill and it's going to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work. And I'm proud that I've challenged myself to not go the pill route. And it was so painful. I mean, you've been with me the last couple of months, and like 3 weeks ago, me just having a series of panic attacks. And I would have loved to just got on antidepressant medication and anxiety medication. But it was in that decision of not doing that and being uncomfortable with how crappy my body felt that I was able to just keep peeling off those layers of why my nervous system was such on edge. Mm-hmm. So it's not the easiest process. But it's like such a fulfilling process, because once you're there, like, nothing can shake you, because you have provided stability and safety and parenting to yourself.
Wow. I remember when you were going through that. And I think like that was a breakthrough, you know, like a huge breakthrough. And I don't say the breakthrough because, you know, life is a compilation of multiple breakthroughs as we continue growing and exploring ourselves, but it was an extremely important one. And the, you know, the way that somatically it manifested itself, the intensity of what you were feeling emotionally, how it was showing up in your body with the rashes all over your eyes and face, and just like the constant, like, you know, this intense ability, like, you just surrender to this process and felt it all, and your body felt it with you. And I remember, like, right before this, we were talking about like setting ourselves on fire, on spiritual fire, of like burning away all this pain, burn, like feeling it and burning it, being like incinerated with it. And hilarious how it manifested physically, this fire in your face. When I saw you, I was like, oh my God, your eyes. And now seeing you post this big, intense process and just the liberation that you had with this breakthrough, it just feels like a turning off of the page of, you know, of your life. So with that, what do you feel like you want to create and do, or how do you want to be? Like, what's the new inspiration that's being born out of this newly found space?
So it's interesting. So I'll tap a little bit on the shame aspect, because like, as I was dealing with the panic attacks. It wasn't the first time I had experienced this. And the last two times this was happening, I pretty much just walked off both my engineering jobs, which was hard because I feel really passionate about how I leave jobs. But like my body was showing the symptoms of, you know, just not being functional. Mm-hmm. So 3 weeks ago, when I was starting to have them, I was ready to quit again because I felt such shame mm-hmm. as to leaning into my benefits and saying that, hey, I have a mental health condition right now. The stress and my sexual trauma, everything was so compounded because I kept choosing everyone else that like it was a turning point. But the shame that I was feeling that day was so overwhelming. Because I really felt that there was something wrong with me and that it was my fault. So I just kind of like want to like reinforce to anyone that has experienced any sort of sexual trauma, and like sexual trauma is however we define it to us, that like you're worthy and so deserving. And I hope that you choose yourself. And you can choose yourself in so many small moments, and all those little micro choices lead to a macro impact. Ooh. So like for me, the macro impact was saying, no work. I'm not going to allow for you to bully me into what you're trying to do. I'm going to put a pause, and I have protection from a state and federally. So that felt so empowering. And like now it's almost post 3 weeks. I feel like I'm still kind of like trying to calm my vagus nervous system. So I'm still aware of that, but I'm getting like speckles of creative outputs. And like that looks so different. Like first it's painting. I bought, I think like I have like 30 plus canvases in my house right now. So I just like physically want to create. And I kind of have held back on that because a lot of the art that I had been making was so dark and I didn't want to see that darkness. But like right now I feel empowered to just allow for it to be because I feel safe in my space. Mm-hmm. I have some technical ventures I want to explore. One is with a 3D printer and another one is more like an app. But I also feel like a sense of responsibility to not keep bringing in products, the number one, like physical products that aren't biodegradable. So I feel a huge sensibility that whatever I make will be biodegradable and from reusable ingredients. So that's like one component. And then the other component with the software, I don't just want to make another app and just introduce it to that. Like I really want to bring upon change. So I bring more mindful as to what we can solve, and just going from this slew of coming out of this slew of panic attacks and depression and just really reclaiming my sexual power. How can I translate that into a platform and make that accessible across the board for people that are in a similar situation as me? So those are kind of like high level projects. And like this podcast, since you and I have connected, we have moved at such a fast rate, and that feels awesome.
Yeah, it's been wild because, you know, it's interesting. And we've talked a lot about our relationship and how we are holding like two ends of the same energy, because as you're going through, you know, through this transformation with like your sexual healing, I'm going through my own healing with my relationship to money. And it's almost like mirroring things, even though like in this space, like whenever we connect, we're like in this very sacred, intimate space, like exploring the nuances of, you know, of everything that you've experienced and gone through, there's always like some theme on the background for me in my life. And I had a breakthrough on like my own personal life while working with you, because I realized that the reason why I was so hesitant to tap into, you know, coaching and holding space and mentoring for sexual trauma was because of this wound that I had with money and the energy of responsibility, of like, can I really hold the responsibility of holding space for that energy in another person? Like, I did it for myself and I'm like, I'm fine with that. But then once you step into relationship with another, there's almost this like this weight of like, oof. And in our work together, in being able to almost like see your unfolding and see your process and see the speed in which you were like catching yourself. And I was just there to offer this like, you know, externalized container, imaginary container of like, I see you, like, I got you. I'm like present with the intensity of it. But you were in this self-holding space of like really taking ownership of your emotions, of your process, like this, you know, this element of like, I got this and I got me, right? Like that's what allowed you to actually go through this healing. And it allowed me to witness it and how, if I am just like present in the process fully and I open my heart and I feel it in my body and I can feel with you, right, which also, you know, triggers me and my past. But if we feel it together, there's movement that happens in both of our lives, even though like the dynamic is like, you know, it is how it is. It's like, I don't know, like a client, coach, or like whatever labels you want to put into it. That's not how human relationships work. Like human relationships work as this like energetic mirrors, and you're moving, growing on one side, I'm moving and growing on the other side. And that is the power of lunar energy. The divine feminine is not a pyramid. It's not a competition. It's a circle. It's a principle of collaboration. There's an expansion that happens within all of us whenever one of us heals. When one heals, we all heal. There's this collective energy. It's like all of the yonis are connected in the sacred lineage of lunar energy, and the healing process that you went through changed something in the collective matrix in the world, in the children, in the women that are still haven't had the courage of like tapping into the world of like, okay, I'm gonna go look at this darkness. So I just, for me, it's like the power of healing, that our minds cannot really comprehend what's really going on at a deeper level. We can just like be here, be present for one another, understanding that we can only hold space for another person to the depth that we have held space for ourselves. We cannot contain energetically and emotionally another person more, in more capacity than we have done that for ourselves. So whenever we do that and we're like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna go explore this, that is not only self-serving, that is bleeding, and that is almost permeating other individuals that are sharing and carrying that same wound. So we're like freeing ourselves together. This isn't not a pyramid, this is a circle.
Wow, that was so beautiful and so much I want to comment on, so hopefully I can retain it in a good understandable order. But like, yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I have a clear understanding of what we are and why we're in this current state. And I believe that at some point we were all one and then got fractured into different individual experiences. And we're all having different experiences, but off the same instance. So I think like I want to tap back into my breakthrough, because I feel like me choosing to stand up for myself and support myself in the way that I specifically did allowed for me to be able to parent myself through the big wound. And talking about like setting, we talked about setting ourselves on fire spiritually and that rash. That was so much rage and misunderstanding that I think I mentioned to you. I used plant medicine and went into a plant ceremony shortly after this sort of panic attacks, because high level, I understood that we were one, and I could understand that if these people that have hurt me are an instance of me, then I have to be able to forgive them, but I couldn't tap into that. Mm-hmm. So after I got into ceremony, it was not even during the ceremony. The ceremony allowed for me to release hundreds of years, thousands of years of trauma that were passed on to me. So when you talked about like the work that I am doing is effectuating change in other areas, I felt it that session. And it allowed for me to be here and be speaking about this because it's so hard to be talking about this because of the almost like debilitating, freezing feeling and sensation that shame brings upon us. But that session helped me to remove physical shame, which then led me to the next section of knowing that the next step for me is to have compassion and some level of forgiveness. And for me, very specifically, it's been really difficult to extend that to my uncle because he was the one that molested me between the ages of 4 and 7. And where all that anger held. So although I fully can't fully extend it, my brain can now wrap itself around over what I'm working towards. And also, I have data points that, wow, you prioritized yourself. You parented yourself. You held yourself. So now you're in this space of healing. And now I can get to closer to me. I can like now discover who I am without this trauma. And like, I think I'll always be there, those memory notes, but now I'm not feeling it on my body, which is so freaking amazing.
Wow. And healing happens in the body, like in the body. It's so easy to go into the story and the past or the future, but it's ultimately like those stories will stay with us all of our life. It is part of like how we experience ourselves. But the healing and like whenever we move it from the body, that's the freedom. We talked about like skipping through this process of the rage, like healing the shame and the rage, stepping to compassion and how aggressive that feels. Like before we're ready, like if we're in like in the middle of going through a process of healing from sexual trauma and somebody's like, yeah, well, people who do that is because that was done to themselves. Therefore, we need to be compassionate. How absolutely violent that feels to the person that's in process and still in shame or rage. It's like another violation. That's the feeling of it. And honoring the steps in the process in the present moment. When there was rage, there was rage. And it's like, we're not gonna step into compassion and bring in all these things because it's not the time yet. We are with rage. We're fully present with rage. Whenever it was time to remove fear, presence with fear. Whenever we are present with shame, it's shame that's there. It's like every single emotion deserves this undivided, holy attention, full mothering and fathering of this energy that's here visiting. And over time, as we remain present in the healing process, then there is this like landing, an opening of compassion and you know, the energy of forgiveness being a very complex thing, like almost like a lotus, just all these petals blooming over and over again, because there needs to be like forgiveness is just like, oh, here's the perpetrator, I forgive him. It's like, no. You have to forgive all parts of yourself. Find that innocence. Yeah. Forgive the people around you. Forgive your mother and your father, the lack of protection, the world. Forgive our society. Forgive what has, like, it's so complex. That's true compassion, is to be able to, like, be present with all of this discomfort and pain and pain and pain and pain. And compassion is not like, just be compassionate. No, it's a natural unfolding of a healing process. It is the fruit of allowing ourselves to be burned through the hells of the rage for the unconsciousness of it, through the shame, through the guilt, through all of this. It's just a fruit that blooms, a flower that blooms when it's ready. It's not to be, you know, forced upon. So I want to like celebrate you and be with you in like how you're taking your relationship with the energy of compassion and forgiveness as like, it's, I'm moving with it here in the present. Whatever it's unfolding is what I'm holding space for.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and there's like so much power to everything you said. And I just think that there's like kind of misinformation and just like perpetuating expectations on other people, trying to get us to move faster than what we are, where we're at. How can we extend love and compassion towards other people when we truly haven't felt it and shown it to ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this journey of coming back to ourselves. And like once you are there, you are able to tap into all these other things. But yeah, I'm like so grateful that I've prioritized this. And also like, I feel a sense of responsibility. Like I don't fully know what I'm supposed to do on this planet. I definitely know that I'm supposed to be. And my level of being is different. Like, I know that that level of being is also healing and getting myself to a whole place. And then by that alone, I become a platform or a model or a template for other people to have hope that it's possible. Because, like, this is, to me, this is what we're doing is really about giving people hope. Like, the work that I'm doing is hard. The work that you're doing is hard. No one can or will make you do it. So we have to have hope that it's attainable. And once we see that it's attainable, we start to build steps as to how we can get there. So that's like what I'm the most excited about. But it's really hard. But I'm okay with being a person that does that to help
others. Yes, I think... Huh?
No, I just like wanted to add one more thing because like ultimately, like if we could just like extend compassion for children, for the children version, like if you think about the state that we're in, we're grown as adults, but coming from a place of a child that was traumatized. And to some extent, we've all experienced trauma. So if we can extend that love and compassion to the child version of ourselves, I think that is much more attainable, you know?
Yes, to get that's it. That's the return to innocence, is to like remember that at our core, that's what we are. We are innocent and compassion starts with us, starts right here. You know, it's me. It's like compassion with me, with my inner child, with this part that's supposedly in the past, but it's not. It's right here. I can feel my inner child every day with me, present, observing life through me. So it's coming back to the self, you know, and I think that's very beautiful. And that's something that you have modeled in your life. And I think you're absolutely right. Like your purpose, it's being, existing as you, as the very unique form of you that you are. And if you bring that presence to yourself, like, that radiates, because that's almost like a light for other people to be like, what if I let my inner child shine as well and be and exist? And the more of us that become like turning on the light to what we are, like the world will become illuminated. We're just in darkness right now. We gotta start turning on the light. Every single household, turn on your lights, blast out, you know, the essence of your being. And it's that. The light is love for the self. Love for the self is I prioritize myself, my needs, my emotions, my healing process, my pain. It's all about me. It sounds selfish from the outside, but it's the most selfless thing that we can do, because in being that, in allowing ourselves to simply be and exist, like that's a rebellious act in this world that we live in.
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of like adding to that, but with like maybe an action for everyone, I'm going to invite you and everyone else that is watching or listening to join me in this challenge that I do every single day, whether I execute it or not to the T is another thing, but it's like, I try to perpetuate the opposite of shame. So if you have an opportunity to not shame someone, even though it makes you uncomfortable, even though it might trigger you that you feel wronged. I challenge you to pause and not perpetuate that energy out into the world.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I accept. I am going to be doing that, and I'm so grateful that you invited, you know, others to do that as well. And I hope that the people listening or watching this join us in this commitment. So at the end of the day, it's a commitment to the self. It's like, I won't shame myself, and I'm going to extend that to another. And in that, it's almost like taking even more responsibility for our, you know, for our world, this world that we all share, that is our home.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you mentioned, like, extended it to not shame ourselves, because that's a huge, huge part of it. Not shaming ourselves. But when we're not aware that how much we shame other people, you know, we just kind of go through life not being aware.
Wow. Thank you so much. That is so beautiful. I would love to, you know, end it there, because that felt like the perfect full circle closing ribbon moment of this conversation about, you know, like, what does it look like after healing from sexual trauma? What does it look like to free yourself and also to give space for the uncomfortable emotions and to extend compassion to all parts of you and liberate yourself from shame and extend that same thing for others? So I think this is, you know, this is transformational. The more of us that join in this, that do this, the more of an impact that we're going to be making in the world. So thank you so much, Res, for your vulnerability, for sharing yourself with us, opening your heart, for speaking with such, you know, passion and presence, and for moving through all that shame, because that actually allowed you to be able to be here present, sharing your story, like become naked. And I think that's really going to inspire so many people to do that for themselves as well, to dive into this process, because you are just offering a model or an example of what happens when we're like, all right, let's go. Let me free myself. So thank you for your work. Thank you for everything you went through. Thank you for freeing yourself through it, for healing yourself, and for sharing your journey with us. I love you so, so much, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I'm just so excited for both of us and see, like, where we continue to, like, grow and different areas expanding. And this is just, these are important topics that you've been bringing out on your podcast. So I'm just, like, super grateful that you've been putting yourself out there as well. And let's just keep it going. And let's keep, like, harnessing the yoni power. Bringing more light to the
moon. Yes, to the yoni power. Woohoo! Yeah. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. I am going to leave some information about Res on the description box, and please share this with anybody in your life that will benefit from Res's story and wants to just reconnect to that yoni power and feminine empowerment, which starts with our sexuality. And thank you so much if you're listening to this, for, you know, holding presence throughout this very difficult subject. And, you know, I know a lot of things come up. A lot of things come up for me when I talk about it. And I can imagine listening to it does the same thing. So, yeah, just extending gratitude for everyone that's in this space, in this present moment right now, tapping into this energy. Thank you. I love you all, and see you all next week. And thank you, Res, for being here.